Hello and welcome to the Grace of God Hour. It's so good to have you listening today as we continue our study in the names of God in the Bible. We've come to a very interesting name that I think is familiar to all of us in one way or another. It is the name Jehovah Rohi, and it's found in Psalm 23, verse 1. Where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If you go through the Old Testament, reading the writings of Moses and going on through the prophets, you'll find that shepherds are mentioned many, many times, and God is referred to as a shepherd many times in the prophets. But there's something different about the way God is referred to here in the 23rd Psalm. He is referred to as not the shepherd, but my shepherd. Here it becomes very personal. Well, you may have noticed that there are actually three shepherd psalms that we find in a row in the Word of God. The 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th Psalm. In the 22nd Psalm, we read of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is crucified. And I'm amazed as I read this passage, because it was written 1,000 years, approximately, before the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene. And yet it describes in a perfect way what crucifixion was actually like. Listen to these words. "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." What an interesting picture. What did the soldiers do that day? They divided up his clothing, and for one piece of clothing, they cast lots. It says that they pierced his hands and his feet. That was not a method of capital punishment that was used in the day that this psalm was written. Obviously, it talks about crucifixion. And when you think of the terrible pain that one experienced when being crucified, you just simply read Psalm 22, beginning with verse 14. "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint." This is exactly what happened to someone on the cross as that heavy body pulled down on the arms. The bones were actually pulled out of joint. They were dried up like a potsherd. The mouth was so dry that, as it says, "my tongue sticks to my jaws." What a horrible picture, but it's a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for his people, that they might have everlasting life. And then in the 24th Psalm, we read about the king who is exalted. Here is the shepherd after his resurrection, up in heaven, and here he is as the one who is the leader of his people. Listen to the words. "Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." And then in verse 7, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, and the word here is Jehovah, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So in Psalm 22, we have a picture of what the shepherd, the Lord Jesus, did to secure the salvation of his people. And in Psalm 24, we have a picture of him exalted to heaven and being with those who trusted in him and have their salvation secured. In between, we have the 23rd Psalm, which I believe is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the shepherd of his people, providing for all of their needs while they're here on earth. Do you know that just as we saw three distinct references to a shepherd in the Old Testament, there are three times in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus is described as a shepherd. In John 10:11, we read, he said, I am the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13:20, he's described as the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5:4, he's called the chief shepherd. But you have to notice something as you read these passages. It says in verse 11 of John 10, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Just like the shepherd in the 22nd Psalm, who's crucified, laying down his life for his sheep. In Hebrews 13:20, the great shepherd is the one who is risen from the dead. And then in 1 Peter 5:4, the chief shepherd is the one who is coming again. Well, when we turn now to the 23rd Psalm, as we said, it is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus as the shepherd of his people, caring for them and meeting their needs while they are here on earth. And as we read it, we find that it's a passage in God's word that can give us great comfort. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. I won't lack a thing because the Lord, Jehovah, is the one who shepherds me and cares for me. As we go on in the psalm, we find out that there are several ways in which the Lord Jesus provides care and nurturing for his people. We read, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, sheep do not lie down in green pastures until they have eaten all that they need. They'd be up in the green pastures eating what they could find. But what it says here is that the Lord Jesus is the one who makes us lie down in green pastures, meaning that we have received all the nourishment that we need. He is the one who provides it for us. And then it says, he makes me to lie down. That's what it says in that passage. You see, we never lack rest when we are under the guidance and help of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus. He makes me lie down. You know, sheep were actually rather foolish animals. They didn't really understand when they were exhausted or tired that it was necessary for them to lie down, to rest. And so the shepherd would take them and gently place them down so that they will have rest. And so he does for us. In the midst of the trials of life, he gives to us the ability to lie down and rest, the ability to have all the satisfaction that we need, because we know that in the midst of those trials, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And then we read, he leads me beside still waters. In this passage, he's telling us that we will receive all the refreshment that we need. When I picture still waters, I think about the relaxation that we have in the Lord, that I am refreshed, I am secure, I can lie down in this quiet place, though there be tumult all around me, though there be the great and horrible struggles of life, I can be there in the midst of all of those trials and know that I have rest by the still waters that God provides for me. You know what else? He also gives us direction. He tells us what we need to do. It says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in those paths that are right. Now, how does he do that? Well, he's provided a direction book. It's called the Bible. It is the Word of God. What a beautiful thing it is that the Lord of eternity has given us all the guidance that we need to live our lives for his honor and for his glory. For those of us who are faithful students of God's Word, we know that it teaches us everything that we need to live in this world. One of the things I love more than anything else is when I can sit down and relax and rest and open up my Bible, look at it and read and say, Lord, now teach me today how you want me to live. And oh, has he given me guidance? How he's given me wonderful direction. I think about my own preparation for the ministry. When I knew that he was calling me, how did I know? I read the Word of God. And in the Word, I read about the need to go out into the world and to proclaim the gospel. And I said, Lord, do you want me to go? And I remember reading, who shall I send and who will go for me? And I was ready to say, here am I, Lord, send me. I remember as I went through seminary and began to really understand what the Word of God had to say to me directly, that I learned how I'm to live my life for his glory. Oh, I'm not successful 100% of the time. No one of us is. But I'll tell you, my friends, it's a joy to know the path in which I'm to walk. He led me to be associated with a missionary work for a few years, and then to be a pastor. And as a pastor, I learned the skills of teaching and preaching the Word of God. He then led me into a wonderful ministry. I was an army chaplain for 27 years, and there I had a chance to represent the God of eternity to those who could lose their lives, whose lives were on the line as they served our country. Now again, he's led me to be a pastor after retirement. So God has blessed me with all methods of direction. And even today, when I go into the Word of God, I find that there's more and more direction for me. I think of the wonderful Psalms that I read. I was reading the first Psalm where it said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." I've learned that if I'm going to live for the Lord, that's what I must do. Meditate in God's word. Read it. The word meditate actually comes from a root in Hebrew that means to mumble. Did you ever think of yourself mumbling the word of God? It's an exciting thing to make it so much a part of your life that you will mumble it every time you come into circumstances that you seem to have no control of. You think, and God brings to your memory those passages that you have studied and mumbled. Just as the hymn says, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me." Indeed, we have the leading of the Lord. He also gives to us strength when we need it. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." My friends, have you ever pondered what death might be like? Oh, I have. I've often wondered what it will be to have that transition. I served as a chaplain in a hospital and at one time worked on an oncology ward at an army hospital. And I remember meeting non-Christians who were so fearful of death. God gives to us a great rest and peace and understanding that when we come to that time when we will go to be with him, there's no reason for fear. For he will guide us through Jordan into the promised land. He also gives to us a relationship with him. It says, "For you are with me." Oh, what security that gives to us. The shepherd is with us. You know that was the way shepherds took care of their sheep. Shepherds would often live out in the field because the sheep needed constant tending. And there was a relationship. The sheep knew the master, and the master knew each one of his sheep. And so it is that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. He has said that my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, "For you are with me." And then he tells us that he will constantly protect us. The words, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod and the staff were used to guide the sheep. They were used to pull them along or push them. And they were used to protect them. against animals that would come and destroy them. And so we have protection from the Lord. We know that he is more powerful than any enemy that we could come against. And then we know that we have peace with our enemies. He says that. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, sometimes we think of this as a big feast that God has provided for us on a great table with many people seated around it. But this is not what he's talking about at all. For the shepherd in that day, his table was simply the ground. He spread his cloth out on the ground, and then he would lie on it, he sat on it, and he would eat his meals. And so for the sheep, the table was actually the ground upon which they ate, and the shepherd would make sure that the table was a safe place. He watched out for the enemies, for the wolves and the bears, to be certain that they could not destroy the sheep. And so our Savior protects us and gives us peace, knowing that he is able to protect us from all of our enemies. And then we know that he gives to us great comfort. For it says, you anoint my head with oil. That oil was the oil that was used as a healing ointment. And the shepherd would go about looking at the sheep and see if they had any injuries, if they had been scratched or hurt. And if necessary, he would spread that oil on them that they might be healed. God provides just that kind of comfort for us in the midst of any struggles that we encounter. And then finally, the passage says to us that he provides for us all the joy and happiness that anyone could have. For it says, my cup runs over. Wow. You see, it should be enough to have a full cup to drink from. But you see, the shepherd provides so well for the sheep that the cup actually runs over. In other words, he gives the sheep more than they need. He provides for them everything that they need. And isn't that true of us in our relationship to our shepherd, the Lord Jesus? He provides for us everything that we need. What a blessing it is to know Jehovah Roi, the Lord, my shepherd. Well, what about you, my friends? Do you know him? Have you come to a personal relationship with this wonderful shepherd who provides for the needs of his people? Have you become one of his sheep? Have you trusted in him that you might have the blessings of everlasting life? I certainly hope so. If you haven't, my friends, you're missing out on all the joy and blessing that the Savior can give. I would challenge you to trust and believe in him. And my friend, as he promises, you will have everlasting life. Well, we at the Grace of God Ministries would love to hear from you. I'd like some comments. If you'd like to write to us, there's an email address. It's Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at graceofgod, all one word, .us. Barry at graceofgod.us.